Dave. Well, if you're new here, I just want to welcome you. We're glad you're here this morning. We're gonna celebrate that very fact. We have a number of good friends that are out of town, and our region is having a conference. So a bunch of saints that we love dearly are at that conference. So you can be praying for them the next few days that God would really speak to their hearts. I trust He will. I've heard good reports already. It sounds like it's going amazingly already. But for us here this morning, I like that video. I picked it out online, and Charles Spurgeon did that on a Christmas Eve. His message was God with us, and I would encourage you if you get a moment, if you find time to be able to read that sermon, it's profound. It's pretty amazing. So, but this morning we're kind of a standalone message that I wanted to give this morning called Rejoice. God with us. You know, a couple of weeks ago I talked about rejoice and what that word means. What actually rejoice is, you drill down on that word rejoice, which we've been doing this holiday weekend, is rejoice is delight in God's grace. That's what it means, to delight in God's grace. Rejoice. Delight in God's grace. Why? God is with us. You know, the Apostle Paul writes in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, he writes, rejoice always. And just a directive to you and me, to delight in God's grace always. It's just like an exhale. It's like, I don't know, for me, it's like a hug. Delight in God's grace. He's got it. He's got you and He's got me. He's going to take care of us. He's good. He knows what He's doing. He has intentionality in every single thing that He puts His hand to, including our lives. I'm so thankful for that. So today, we're just going to look a little closer at what that means to rejoice. I think you're going to have to help me, John, with the clicker, because it's got a headache. Try again? Oh, okay. How'd you do that? God with us. Rejoice. Delight in God's grace. God with us. Comes from this particular verse. You guys are probably familiar with it, especially since we're just coming off the heels of Christmas, Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. It's the Christmas story. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Such a good everyday reminder, not just on Christmas, not just during the holidays, but for you and I, that's part of the reason God gave us communion, really. When we break bread together, it's to remember him, that he's real, that he's good, that he's with us. And really, this is an Old Testament verse that Matthew refers to. This comes from Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, 680 years before Jesus was even born. This is what he prophesied. This is what he said. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. So good. And I think just a big thing I want to talk about today, just two ideas. Two of the big ideas are believing it and how that helps us live out our faith. Do you believe God is with us this morning? You guys, do you genuinely believe that? Do you have a relationship with God? Do you know him? Is it personal? Do you know? Yes, I do. God is with us. That's so true. And sometimes for most of us in this room, I think we believe that. I think we've placed our faith in that very truth that God is with us. And now we're trusting him. We're trusting God to help us live it out, to live out our faith the remainder of our days. When we believe God is with us, he helps us live that out. When we believe, he helps us. Like this Old Testament verse, Isaiah Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. You know, God is with us. And, you know, we just all morning we could just focus on that. And I do want to think about that. Maybe you can remember a time in your life when maybe a parent or someone you dearly love was with you this time of year. And it can be hard because hard things have happened. There may be people that we've lost, but a memory comes back maybe to a special time, a special memory. For me, there's a memory that I had, that I have, that I hold dear with my father and I. My father and I, we have a strained relationship. It's just kind of hard. That's the way it's been over the years. But I remember when I was a little boy, I grew up in Osage, Iowa, and it gets really cold there. And when I was a little boy, I went to a Catholic school, and I would walk to school with my buddies. And of course, it was uphill both ways, and it was miles and miles. I think it was just a few blocks, but it seemed like forever. I remember as a little boy, my dad was a machinist, and he worked at the factory. And so he was sleeping. He had worked the night shift, and he was sleeping, and I had to go to school, of course. And I walked to school as a little boy. And I don't remember for sure. I think I might have forgotten my mittens or my gloves or whatnot, so I trucked on to school. And on my way home, I don't know if I lost my gloves or what, but it was like it gets super cold in Iowa. I mean, it was one of those days where it was below zero. And my hands, when I was crying, and on my last few blocks on the way home, I was just crying. I thought I was going to die. My hands were so cold. And I got to my house, and I went weeping and sobbing into my father's bedroom. And he just popped right up, and he was just really concerned about me. And I just have this intimate memory of my dad just responding to me, and he pulled me close to him up in his bed, and I remember him just wrapping his big, strong hands around my hands and blowing on my hands, and it's like, I'm going to be okay. My dad's with me. He's going to take care of me. I'm going to be fine. I remember just that feeling of security. That's just a memory that I just cherished that I had with my dad. I like this quote from John Wesley. The best of all is God is with us. The best of all indeed is that God is with us. What will your final words be? These were John Wesley's. These were the final words that he spoke at his bedside. People said, this is what he said. The best of all is God is with us. And then he breathed his last. The reality of God's presence was what he held on to in the final moments of his life. May we have that same faith. May we have that same relationship that's so intimate and real that it's like, you're there with me. You're there. Thank you so much. I want to pray one more time. I'd ask you to pray with me if you would. And just ask God to help us this morning. God, I love you. I just agree with the songs that we sang and the prayers that were prayed, Lord, I agree with those. Father, I don't pray to an old barren, abandoned warehouse. I don't pray to these concrete floors, God. I pray to you because I have a relationship with you, Lord. So we just ask you to help us this morning, these next few moments, Lord. I pray you just help us, keep us from distraction. Lord, there's lots of things going on, and ultimately we want to hear from you. We don't want to hear from any man. I pray that your word, your Bible, as we read Bible verses this morning, God, you would change us with your truth, and that we would just feel like your kids. We would just respond to your initiating with us. So that receiving a hug from you, God, pray today that you'd do that for us. I just pray that in your name, Jesus. Amen. God with us. So God reveals himself as the creator through creation. You know, someone might ask you, well, what about the people in Africa that don't have Bibles? What about all those people? Doesn't he care about them? God reveals himself in the creation. Even those people have an opportunity to respond to a creator. When you witness and experience the creation, There's no other explanation that someone created this. So there's opportunity to respond to the Creator. And God has blessed us with the Bible. He gives us the Bible at this church. We believe the Bible is God's Word. And He speaks to us in the Old Testament and New Testament. And throughout the Old Testament, there's lots of prophets that we read about who foretold of things that would happen. And we see that in Ezekiel. Here's one of those, the prophet Ezekiel, this is what he prophesies. In Ezekiel it says, "And they shall know that I am the Lord their God with them, and that they, the house of Israel, are my people, declares the Lord God, and you are my sheep, human sheep of my pasture. And I am your God, declares the Lord God." Oh my goodness. Our Creator God, who chose to be with us, to be born of a virgin, that's the Christmas celebration, that's what we just celebrated, was Christmas. God Himself came as a baby, as a human, incarnate. God Himself came to the earth as a baby. Born in a manger so that you and I could know Him in human flesh so we could relate. I mean, he probably had hunger pains. He probably had physical pains. He suffered as a baby. He had dirty diapers. He became human so you and I could know Him, so that we could relate to Him, so this relationship with God could be real. So we could recognize Him, so that we could run to Him, so that we could understand Him, so that we could respond to Him. That's how much He cares about us. That's what He chose to do for us. And we don't know a whole lot about His childhood. There's a few things. We know He was a discipler of men. We know He called people to Himself. He discipled to them. He has lived with them intimately, ate and slept and taught, and loved them, and cared about them, and related to them, and had relationship with them. God did that for us. And all along the way, He was sinless. The only man that never sinned. Jesus was sinless. Can you imagine? What would that be like? We can't even comprehend that as humans. But Jesus, of course, is God. God Himself came to the earth to be with us, led a sinless life, and was, of course, willingly stepped in to be crucified. So God Himself knew we had a sin problem that needed to be addressed, that needed to be taken care of. So God Himself comes to be with us, discipler of men, humbles Himself. Oh my goodness, the Creator of the universe says, "Have your way with me. Crucify me, go ahead." Why? Because a sacrifice had to be made for the sins of the world. And Jesus was Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. But here's the thing. It doesn't stop there. Jesus was crucified to death. He died for the sins of the world, took upon those sins upon Himself, the wrath of God upon Himself. But we know that 3 days later, He rose again. There was a resurrection. And Jesus lives. He didn't remain in the tomb. Remember, the tomb is empty. So Jesus rose again. All along the way, fulfilling His promises of what was prophesied, that I will be with you. He actually appeared to His disciples again after He died. After He rose from the dead, He was with them. He appeared to them to comfort them, to assure them, to let them know, "I am with you." In fact, hundreds of people saw Him before He ascended into heaven. He did that for us so that we could recognize Him. And just before He ascended, He promised a helper. He also promised that when I'm gone, a helper will come for you. So all along the way, it's going to look a little different. I'm the Creator God, come to the earth, born of a virgin, and then I'm going to ascend into heaven, and I'm going to give you the helper, but all along, it's me. It's God. It's the King of the universe helping you every single step of the way. And he promised the Holy Spirit. Remember, let's look at Acts. Acts chapter 4, verse 31. This is when Pentecost, remember that moment? Just let me paint that picture a little bit for you. When the promised Holy Spirit does come. After Jesus ascended into heaven, then shortly after that, this is what happened. And when they had prayed, that's the disciples, and when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. So again, the disciples, after being intimately with Jesus, now he gives them the Holy Spirit, and this relationship continues. And it's what gives them boldness to speak in the name of Jesus. Again, evidence of God with us. All along, he has been with us. And the first point I just want to make is believing it. Do you believe it? As Christians, those of us that have a relationship with the Lord, we need to get our arms around this. That we have not been left alone just to live this life and die and for it to be over. God is with us. He's continuing to help us, and he will continue to help us all along the way. And we see that. We've been studying, of course, our Knowing Jesus series through the Gospel of John. We've been studying, and the theme of the Gospel of John is believe it. Believe in him. Believe in God. And really, if you go even from Genesis all the way to Revelation, it all points to Jesus. It points to God. Jesus is God. And he wants us to know, I'm with you. You're important to me. I love you. I care about every single thing that happens to you. And it's good to be reminded of that, but just at the very core, at the foundation of our relationship is that, believing it. It's true. You know, sometimes it's almost like the doubting Thomas at times. We think, well, I'm not going to believe that till I can put my fingers in his side. You know, something happened, a tragedy happened in our family this week. My wife and I, her oldest brother, passed away suddenly the day after Christmas. And I was sitting there with my wife. I was sitting in where I like to sit and read my Bible, and I was having my quiet time. My wife came in with the phone, and she had kind of a crazy look on her face. And she said, Mac, my brother had a heart attack. I go, really? Is he okay? You know, and we weren't sure yet what had happened yet. And then she hung up to who she was talking to, because one of her siblings, they were trying to figure out what was going on. And her and I were just sitting there praying for the whole situation. And then the phone rang again. And she went, she looked right at me. And she said, he died? You know, and there's this moment of unbelief. I knew her brother. He's 67 years old. It doesn't seem that old to me anymore. But there's a moment there where I just like, no, that didn't really happen. No, is this really happening? No. And then, sure enough, it unfolded. Her brother passed away. My wife's not with me today because she went to Arizona to be with her siblings. We're wired that way to where we feel we need to see it. God understands that. He created us. So he lets us see himself in all kinds of different things. Sometimes we are just blinded because I think primarily until we have the spirit living inside of us, until we become a believer and get our arms around that, we are blinded. But once God himself comes and lives with us, we begin to understand and see him and live for him. But our first step is believing it. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price, so glorify God with your body. See, God, as believers, what we believe, what the Bible tells us. In the Old Testament, we see they put so much emphasis. Remember, David was given the charge to collect materials to build a temple so God could be in the temple. And we read in the Old Testament just very specific directions on how to build this temple, so many yards, cubits this way, and so many, it had to be just a certain way so they could bring the tabernacle in and God could be in the temple. And remember, Solomon, David ended up not even building the temple. He just made arrangements and he handed it over to his son. And his son Solomon is given charge to build the temple, and that's exactly what he did. Exactly to the specifications that God gave. And in the Holy of Holies, in the center of the tabernacle, that's where God would reside in the Old Testament. And God used that time in history to point people to himself. All along the way is, I am God, I am yours, I am God. You can know me, you can have relationships with me. Then we come to the New Testament. And what does God tell us? God tells us that we, as believers, become that temple. There's a transition that happens. It's not a structure or a building anymore. It's believers. It's us. It's transitioned from God in the structure to God lived out in his believers. We are the temple. And God is with us. And he reveals himself time after time after time after time. It's so incredibly beautiful. Look what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Again, God initiated this relationship with us. He wants to live out who he is through us. We are the temple. God is with us. He's doing exactly what he intended to do all along. I like this quote from Matthew Henry. By the light of nature, we see God as a God above us. By the light of the law, we see him as a God against us. But by the light of the gospel, we see him as Emmanuel, God with us. We continue on in Ephesians again. Paul's describing this idea, more than idea, this truth that the Spirit, once you become a believer, comes and lives inside of us, that we become the temple. Now, read this with me in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is a guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. Isn't that just absolutely fantastic? I believe that's happened to me and to most of you in this room. Once we became believers, that God gave us his Holy Spirit. He lives in and resides inside of us. And he said it's sealed. And the reference that he makes to, like, if a king would make a proclamation and maybe they would write it down. Somebody would write it down and then they'd roll it up. This proclamation might be important that only certain people could read it. And what they'd do is they'd drip wax on it to seal that proclamation. So it might be rolled up and then there'd be a glob of this wax on there. And then the king would take his signet ring, his special ring, and he would put it in the wax. A message from the king, sealed by the king. And that's the same reference made here, that God deposits his Holy Spirit in us, sealed by him himself. No one can take it away. Only God himself can receive that deposit to himself. Absolutely life-changing truth. It's beautiful. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? You need to remember that. That is true today. Brothers and sisters, God lives this out through us. again in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 14, by the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. Time and time again in the Old and New Testament, we see reference to God. Truly believing and grasping these truths gives us confidence to live out our faith. So, okay, I believe it. And, oh my goodness, it's a big, big truth to get my arms around, but I believe he lives inside of me too. In fact, as I'm living out and facing different things, God will help me. That's what he's promised us. God never reneges on his promises. As Christians, we can stand strong in that as we live out our faith because it is true. Such power available at our fingertips, and oftentimes it's just untapped. Like it says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Boy, maybe today, maybe you just need to be reminded of that. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Again, it's this idea of, okay, first of all, I believe in Jesus, okay? I believe he lives inside of me. There's a faith that's lived out, but as humans, we almost need proof. I remember in my 20s, I was in a car accident out in California, and I dislocated my hip. So I was in traction for like 3 days. I was in traction. And I remember at first thinking, boy, man, I may never walk again because it was a lot of pain I experienced in that car accident. And they put me in traction. So they had a bolt through my leg, and over the end of the bed was these weights. And they just kept it pulling on. They said they had to hold it together or whatever it was. And I was thinking, man, I wonder if I'll ever get out of this bed. But sure enough, they eventually were able to take the weights off, and I learned to walk again. It was true. I can walk. So I went from I'm not sure to, I'm going to be all right. And I think in some ways we can look at our faith like that. Or maybe another one. I remember buying my first home. I lived in Colorado My soon-to-be wife and I were considering buying a house, and I went to the bank and all these situations. My credit had finally cleared after years of foolishness, and the banker said, yeah, we'll give you that loan. And I'm like, what? You're going to give me a loan. You're going to loan me the money. So I really can buy a house now. And it's kind of like at first, like, you know, I went to the bank thinking, you know, is this really going to happen? You know? And then yes. Then, oh, okay, yeah, I'm a homeowner. It happened. I walked through that. And I think sometimes in faith, we need to understand there's a place that we need to walk through. Or even the speed limit. I noticed they raised it to 70 miles an hour in a lot of the city areas. Yeah, woo-hoo. And at first I'm thinking, well, I've been driving that fast all along. Now I can go a little faster. Hallelujah. But until I saw that sign, you know, because I had read about it earlier that, you know, they're going to raise the speed limit. Until I saw it, you know, I'm looking at, you know, can we really go that fast? Yeah. Go ahead. You'll be there sooner. In faith, I think that at times we just hold back. We think, God, we need you to help us step through it in belief and live out what you're showing us. That's my second point, living it out. Once we grasp that, once we believe that he is God, that he lives inside us, that he's with us, it helps us to live it out with confidence. I like what I read in my quiet time this morning, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. I don't have it on the screen for you. It says, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, love, and self-control. God gave us that, a spirit of power, love, and self-control. You have that. If you're a believer, you have that spirit. You have that power. It's available to us in Christ. Yeah, this is so profound and so life-changing. I think oftentimes we just leave it sit on the shelf. Here's another Old Testament situation. Jehoshaphat, remember him, in 2 Chronicles, he finds himself in a situation that he's outnumbered. Jehoshaphat thinks, what am I going to do? He's outnumbered by hordes of people. Let's read this together. It says, O our God, will you not execute judgment on them? For we are powerless against the great horde that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. So before this is setting the scene, there's armies coming against them. They're just grossly outnumbered. God, we don't know what to do. You know, maybe that's where you find yourself today. Maybe those hordes coming against you, it takes on many different kinds of forms. Sometimes it just be our mind is a horde coming against us. These things that come against us, sometimes we just feel powerless. At least I do. Maybe not. You guys never have an issue or a problem, but occasionally I'm in a pickle, and I'm thinking, what? I don't know what I'm gonna do. But my eyes are on you, God. You said you would take care of me. I believe you. I'm gonna live by faith in that. No matter what the situation, you said you would. I know you will. Comes a place where by faith, and I don't know what your hordes might look like. Certainly we had the popular Hobbit movie at our disposal these days. I went to that with my families. And I like this one because there's so much battle, and I like seeing all that battle. But maybe this is what your horde looks like. I don't know. Maybe your hordes look like that. You feel like, oh my goodness, look at all these things that I'm against. It may look like maybe that's your home, and you feel like all the enemy is just climbing over the walls and pouring into my life. Maybe it's just a thought process. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's your finances. Maybe it's just something that you can't, it's just like, I don't know what to do. Well, we can learn from Jehoshaphat. My eyes are on you. I don't know what your creepy thing looks like. Maybe this guy. Sometimes this guy seems handsome compared to some of the things I come up against. Who knows what it might be? Pornography, addictions, there's all kinds of different things that can grip us. And we feel like there's hordes of an enemy in the form of this in my life. And I can't seem to get past it because it's pouring in everything. At times, you might feel like that is everything is against me. These different things, and boy, that's the time to remember. I don't know what I'm gonna do, but my eyes are on you. Why? Because you're with me. And if you don't know Jesus, I would invite you to begin that relationship so you can tap into that power, to that faith that my eyes are on you. I don't know what I'm gonna do. But my eyes are on you, God, because you're real. I believe in you. You saved me. You have intentionality in my life. You know what's best for me. Because oftentimes we just face these things. It might be a situation or a circumstance. Ultimately, we feel hopeless. Like what Paul writes in Romans, I think this is a good response for us. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? There is victory in Christ. And as believers, I think it's important for you and I to get our arms around this. Let me repeat it. What then shall we say to these things? No matter what it is, no matter what this hordes of the enemy is for you, what can we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? If you have a relationship with him, he is for you. And if you haven't begun that relationship with him yet, he is for you. He wants you to have relationship. God is for us. That's never going to change. No matter what, No one can snatch you out of his hands. That's never going to change. If God be for us, who can be against us? No one! It may seem like it, but that's a lie. God is for us. God is for us. We need to remember that. We need to believe that. Really believe that it's fact and not just an idea that God is with us. Then the fiery darts of the enemy just plink off our armor. Just plink. Plink. Go ahead and do what you want to do. God's for me. My eyes are on him. And it's just a good reminder that for us, I like this from the Psalms, Psalm 56, verse 1 through 4. It says, "Be gracious to me, O God, for man tramples on me all day long, an attacker oppresses me. My enemies trample on me all day long, for many attack me proudly. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you, in God, whose word I praise. In God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me?" One of David's prayers, and it just can fit right into our lives. All these things come against me. I put my trust in God, and no one can snatch me away from him. It just changes everything. I don't know if many of you are familiar with Kool-Aid Man, but it just changes it. Way back in my childhood, a long time ago, many of you might not even know what Kool-Aid Man is. Now it's a bad idea because it's full of sugar. But when I was a kid, everybody had Kool-Aid. My neighbors had Kool-Aid. Little Jimmy, two blocks away, they had Kool-Aid in their refrigerator. And when it was hot, muggy Iowa summer, we had Kool-Aid. And this was the commercial. They would show these hot, tired out kids out in the backyard, and Kool-Aid Man shows up on the scene. And if it's really hot, you freeze Kool-Aid and you have Kool-Aid popsicles. It's like, and you know, I make fun of it, but honestly, we have the power of the creator of the universe living in us, God with us. We're Holy Spirit men and women. We're children of God. Nothing can hold us back from what God has for us. And it's just, I don't know, for me, it's just good to be reminded of that. I like this verse from Joshua. "Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." This is like, can I just say it again? "For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." That was God's encouragement to Joshua. Be strong and courageous, for I am with you. I'll be with you wherever you go. And that holds true for us. That's not just from Joshua's day. I believe with all my heart, that holds true for you and me today. In Matthew, our movement of churches is called Great Commission Churches, and this is the verse where we glean that title from. That we many churches use that same title, but this is the verse is one of the ones that kind of drive our movement of churches. Matthew 28. Great Commission, verses 16 through 20. I'll start with 16 through 18. "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me.'" He goes on to say, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." He gives us a charge. And he says, "I'll be right there with you. Go and make disciples, and I'll be with you. And I will be with you. And I will be with you." Oh, man, receive that hug. God with us. He is. I like this quote from Oswald Chambers. It says, "We look for visions from heaven and earth-shaking events to see God's power. Yet we never realize that all the time, God is at work in our everyday events and the people around us." I think sometimes we don't see the forest for the trees. If God's there, God is at work in our everyday little things. He didn't just leave us to figure it out. God is real. He has intention in every little thing he does. Through our hurts, he never wastes a tear. The pain you feel, the tears, he does not, that is not wasted. God may use it to sharpen your character. He may use it to help humble you. Man, he's whacked me upside the head a few times, it seems like, just to humble me because I need it. I'm so thankful for that. God is at work in our lives. Another Old Testament, Zephaniah, again, just prophesying, for thus saith the Lord. And Zephaniah says, the Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. A promise from God. Thank you, Lord. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 20, and we know that the Son of God has come, and he has given us understanding so that we can know the true God. And now we live in fellowship with the true God because we live in fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the only true God, and he is eternal life. When we believe, God helps us live it out. He helps us live out our faith. He promised he would, and he's a promise keeper, and he is following through on everything that he's promised. That's our God. That's his character. He is with us. Rejoice always. Rejoice. Remember, delight in God's grace. How often? Always. Delight in God's grace always. Rejoice always. God is with us. Hallelujah. That is such good truth this morning. I just want to end with, you know, for me personally, I did not believe, and there came a time in my life when I became a believer. There's a time in my life where that changed. I went from unbelief. I sinned against God. I did a lot of things I'm very ashamed of, and all my life I didn't come to know the Lord till I was 37 years old. And at that point, I had heard of God. I celebrated Christmas. Boy, did I. And there's a lot of things that I did in my life, but it was just head knowledge. Baby in a manger. There's the scene again. And all my life for 37 years, you know, I had kids. I got married in unbelief, without a relationship with God. And then that all changed one time. When I heard the gospel in a new way that changed my life, when I personally believed it, when I knew that I needed a Savior, I recognized I had a sin problem, and I repented. I said, oh, that is wrong. I repented. I need a Savior. I need God. I need you. And I received him into my life. I asked him to come into my life. I asked if I received the free gift of eternal life. God, I need you. And it was just a simple prayer. Someone helped me with. They shared a message similar to this morning. They just said, God is real. That baby in the manger is real. And you can have relationship with him. And he died for your sins. So you can be free from that sin. It can be forgiven. You can be forgiven. And I just thought, oh, this is too easy. It's by grace you are saved. That's our God. A grace-filled God pardons our sins by dying on the cross, by taking them upon himself, because he knows that we can't do anything about it. We are desperate. We need a Savior. That's why he came to the earth. That's why he was a baby, so we could interact with him. That's why he willingly went to the cross and was crucified. And as God still rose from the dead, showed himself fully God, and now, for those that believe, he resides in us. Hallelujah. God with us. Rejoice this morning. Let him give you a hug. If you don't know him, if you've never stepped through that process of belief, myself, or there's many believers in this room tonight, it doesn't have to be a pastor, or this morning, it doesn't have to be a pastor. You could talk to someone about that. Don't hold back. If God's tugging on your heart this morning, be sure and go talk to somebody about that and figure that out. You see, what he said today, that made a lot of sense. What the Bible said in those verses that he shared with us, that made sense to me. And I'm not sure if I have a relationship with God. Don't be ashamed of that. Don't be intimidated by that. Go find out what it really means, what God's doing in your heart. I invite you to do that. I'd be happy to talk with you after this morning. But for those of us that know God, boy, don't leave him on the shelf. That he's available. He will help you with whatever you're up against. He's a good father. He's a perfect father. I'm just going to close in a prayer, and then we'll sing a couple more songs together. Father God, I delight in your grace, God. I rejoice in that. And as far as always, I need your help in that, God. I love you. I pray you'd help us today to rejoice always, that our relationship with you today would be more intimate and real and full than it was a minute ago. God, I pray you continue to increase. I pray that we would learn to decrease so that you might increase, Father God. And I pray, Lord, if there's anyone in here that you're drawn to yourself, Lord, just make it evident to them, God. Ultimately, what they're trying to figure out is between them and you. So, God, I pray you would seal the deal, that you would help them step over the line of belief and then help them even yet further to live out their faith in this world that we live in, God, so that we might be with you one day for eternity. God, I love you. I thank you for all that you're doing in our midst. And I pray for just even our whole world, God. I pray you would help us. We need you. I pray that in your name. Amen.